Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. In tip number 19 from Daniel Coyle's Little Book of Talent, he recommends that instead of doing drills, we learn how to play small, addicting games. Now, I think as dog trainers, we are probably a step ahead of many other people when it comes to this one. Because if you're going to go out to practice with your dog or train and you're doing drills, then you're going to find that your dog gets disinterested pretty quickly. And a lot of us will say, oh, my dog doesn't like to drill. My dog doesn't like repetition. And if that's what you're doing, then yeah, of course, that's pretty boring. It's pretty dull. So most of us, myself included, work really hard to figure out how to interweave training into the games that we play with our dogs so that our dogs don't really know the difference between play and training. You've probably heard the quote, training is play is training is play, or work is play is work is play. The term drill evokes a sense of drudgery and meaninglessness. It's mechanical. It's repetitive. It's boring. As the saying goes, drill and kill. Games, on the other hand, are just the opposite. They mean fun, connectedness, and passion. All the things that we want with our dogs on and off the agility course. And because of that, skills improve faster when they're looked at through the lens of games rather than just drills. In his Little Book of Talent, Daniel Coyle gives us some examples of world-class performers who engaged in small, addictive games to improve their skills. He uses the example of a young golfer named Rory McIlroy chipping golf balls into the family dryer. You know, like the clothes dryer, open up the door, chip the balls into the hole. Warren Buffett, as a child, going door to door, selling chewing gum and trying to figure out which flavor sold the best. Keith Richards, in the early days of the Rolling Stones, trying to decode a riff on an old blues record. And what these examples have in common is that they have a juicy, addictive sense of involvement, fun, and excitement. As a dog trainer and handler, you're not only a student of the game, a student of your instructor, etc., but you're also a coach for your dog. And as good coaches, whether it's to your dog or to your own agility students or your kids, good coaches share a knack for transforming the most mundane activities, especially the most mundane activities, into games. The governing principle is this: if it can be counted, it can be turned into a game. Working on sit stays can be boring if you let it, but count the number of times you and your dog have a perfect sit stay and give yourself a point for each perfect sit stay, and it becomes a game. Track your progress and see how many points you score over a week, and then the next week try to score more points. Or if you're working on weave pole entries, with a friend especially, play a game of horse. You know, that basketball game where you try and make successively more difficult shots until someone fails? Play a game of weave pole horse. If you are actually training your dog and you're just aiming for repetition, of course that's going to get kind of boring and monotonous and meaningless. But if you're really digging into, like I mentioned in a previous tip, making that one perfect chunk, really perfecting one tiny little achievable skill, then you're not engaged in repetition. You're constantly changing things a little bit and shaping things so that you are progressing toward that one perfect chunk. And again, if you can do this in a gamified manner, whether you're keeping points or not, if you can at least approach it with the mindset of we're playing a game and there's some rules to the game and failure is informative, but still fun. We can still chuckle together. It's a lot different than just going out and doing drills. So what kind of games do you play with your dog? How do you gamify your training a little bit? Leave a comment below, share your thoughts, and I'll see you guys for the next Agility Challenge tip next week.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer. So make sure you check it out.